And the Refusing to Kill segment is back. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And we partner with a group called Payday Men's Network. They have a website, refusingtokill.org. And what they do is they track and they support refuseniks from around the world, not only in the U.S., but in Europe, in Israel, and in Turkey and other places. And they partner with us to do this occasional Refusing to Kill series. So I would like to welcome back our guest, Andre Shepherd. Andre, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on again.
From around the world, a series for Sojourner Truth, produced by Payday Men's Network.
I want you to know I can see through your masks.
All righty, Andre Shepherd, 33, is African American from Ohio. He was based at the military base in a military base in Germany, and he refused to return to Iraq because he thought the war was illegal and claimed asylum in Germany, convinced he would be persecuted if sent back to the United States. And just a couple of weeks ago, the German Immigration Authority refused Andre's asylum, but he is now appealing this decision. So, Andre, we spoke with you a while back. This was before your appeal was denied. But I would like you to share with our audience again, what were your circumstances when you joined the military?
It's really quite simple. I joined the military purely for economic reasons because I was living homeless for almost 2 years, and there was just no other chance for me to even make a living. This is the only reason I joined the military.
Right. And, you know, there's so much concern about what is called the poverty draft of people who are, you know, basically in dire straits. You living in a car couldn't pay your rent when you signed up for the at the Army Recruitment Center. So when did you go to Iraq?
I went to Iraq in September 2004 and returned from Iraq in February 2005.
Right. And is that when did you actually refuse to go then, return to Iraq?
I refused to return in April of 2007 because we were due to deploy a second time in July of 2007.
Right. Okay. So tell us again why you decided to seek asylum in Germany. What were the issues?
Well, I decided to seek asylum in Germany simply because I don't believe that myself or anyone else should have to spend even one day in jail for refusing to fight a war that has been proven to be illegal on multiple fronts. Even though the immigration office says that they can't figure out any reasons as to why this invasion was illegal, if you look at many different sources, for example, the Dutch government, they've even said that it was illegal. The UN have said it's illegal. Many peace organizations have said it's illegal. And if you study any of the laws, the Constitution, everything flat out says that America should not have done what they should have done. So I don't see why I should be persecuted or anyone else should be persecuted for this. And going for asylum in Germany was a way, one, to protect myself, and two, to make a political statement.
Right. And if you were to win asylum, what impact do you think it would have?
Well, I think it would have a major psychological impact. Not exactly one where you would have thousands of soldiers running to Germany for asylum, but in particular a psychological impact because Germany is one of America's staunchest allies. And if it comes to be that the German justice system declares this war illegal, this would be the biggest condemnation against the invasion that's been for this war that's been going on for the last 7 years. So I think that would be a huge boost for everyone who's against the wars.
Right. And, you know, what reasons did the German Immigration Authority give to refuse your claim? And also, Germany opposed the invasion of Iraq in 2003. So do you know how they can now justify ruling in your case that the war's illegality is not relevant?
I can honestly say I'm really perplexed as to how they arrived at these decisions because I don't know how they did. The three reasons that they gave was that, one, they could not verify that I would be persecuted when I return back to the United States, despite the fact that Bradley Manning's been in prison under torturous conditions. They also said that they couldn't verify that Apache helicopters were involved in any war crimes, which is weird because you have collateral murder as an example, and you can go online to see many different examples.
And WikiLeaks, I mean, that video has been gone all around the world.
Yes, and this is why I'm really confused about this. it's really perplexing, to be honest with you. And then the third one, which I call the joke of the day, was that they could not verify that the invasion of Iraq was illegal. And I don't understand how they even came close to arriving at that conclusion, because Iraq never attacked anyone, much less the United States. They weren't a threat at all to the United States under the UN Charter or even American U.S. law. And George Bush decided to just, you know, send the military over there without a congressional mandate. They did it without a UN mandate. And somehow everyone's telling me that it is legal, and I'm not understanding why.
Right. And, you know, of course, George Bush Jr. is now worried about traveling to Europe because he's worried about being placed under some form of arrest, you know, with activity related to that war. But getting back to what they did in Germany, the immigration authority, you told the immigration authority about the European Union directive for qualification, which is supposed to protect anyone withdrawing from an illegal war. Or an illegal act within war. So why did the immigration authority not recognize that directive?
The reason why is because that directive is based purely on if the conflict in question is an illegal conflict. And the problem was that since they could not find a reason that the war was illegal, they could not invoke this directive. Also, they also said that there was no proof that there was any link between myself or any of the Apache helicopters that were involved in any war crimes, and that there could possibly not be, it could possibly be construed that since I was behind the lines that I wouldn't be involved in any type of war crimes whatsoever, which I really am confused about as well, because 60 years ago at the Nuremberg trials, they said that it didn't matter what was going on. If you were involved in any type of conflict that involved any type of war crimes, it didn't matter who you were guilty by association. I mean, look at what they're doing to Jam Dinyanyuk. He also lived in, you know, in the Northeast Ohio area, and yet he's standing trial in Israel for being a guard, a prison guard. And they're, you know, trying to make him out to be a war criminal. But yet when an American comes and says, hey, look, you know, we got war crimes everywhere, all of a sudden that doesn't, you know, that doesn't apply. And I'm not understanding this double standard.
Right. And also I understand you presented as evidence the collateral murder video allegedly leaked by Bradley Manning to WikiLeaks. And would you tell us what this video is about and how it was received by the immigration authority in Germany?
Well, I can only tell you what it's about because I didn't really get a reaction from the authorities about it. But this collateral murder video is world famous, particularly because it involved the killing of two reporters from Reuters, where the army tried to stonewall the investigation into their deaths, and they couldn't figure out why the reporters were killed. And this video was released last year, showing that the Apache helicopter made a false identification. They said that everyone there was terrorists, even though they were carrying cameras and photography equipment, and opened fire on everyone, including a bus that was going to pick up the bodies afterwards. They also entailed children that were inside the van as well. And this video produced shockwaves around the world because it shows the brutality of the war in Iraq, in particular with the Apache helicopter, because this helicopter is, you know, a very dangerous weapon. Its main primary purpose is, you know, for anti-tanks. It should not be used against, you know, human beings because of the devastating power it has. But yet that's what's been going on routinely inside of Iraq.
Right, and it's interesting, too, because the Lieutenant Aaron Watada's case, who was the first commissioned officer in the United States to refuse to deploy to Iraq, I mean, they court-martialed him, and in the end, I think the government just had to drop in and give up on his case. How much were you influenced by what happened with Lieutenant Aaron Watada, and are you also keeping track of other refuseniks that are involved in similar actions to yourself, as yourself?
Yeah, I try to keep as much ties as I can to anyone who's resisting various conflicts around the world, because what I've learned in all of these past years is that any conflict that involves, you know, military warfare, 99% of the population is against it, and it's always done for either personal or financial gain by the corporations, banking systems, whatever. And in Lieutenant Watada's case, I was completely following it, and I really have much respect for what he's done because he stayed within the military system and fought against the U.S. government from the inside. In his case, fortunately, the government dropped the case. In the case of Augustine Aguayo, though, what's His case was going on around the time that I ended up leaving the military. They ended up bringing him through the ringer. They even threatened to put him in handcuffs to send him down to Iraq a second time, even though he refused to fight again. He was 100% pacifist. He didn't even carry a weapon in the battle zone. And also, with what's going on in Canada with the Canadian deserters, with their long fight for many years now to stay in Canada, even though the Canadian government is trying their best to try to return everyone back to the United States.
Right, and you also supported UK refusnik Joe Glenton when he was in prison. In fact, we had Joe Glenton as well as his mother here on the show, Sojourner Truth. But again, we have just a few minutes left, and I want you to talk about U.S. soldier Bradley Manning and how he was mistreated in prison, and what your concerns are for people like yourself if you are indeed put in a U.S. military prison.
For me, from my perspective, the case with Bradley Manning is setting a dangerous precedent because, well, the first dangerous precedent was set with Guantanamo Bay and Bagram Air Base, where they're indefinitely detaining so-called enemy combatants without holding a trial, which goes against everything the Constitution stands for. Now they're shifting it over to American soldiers, or aka U.S. citizens, in the case of Bradley Manning. All we know is that he's alleged to have leaked this video. There hasn't been a trial, there hasn't been an arraignment, and nothing, but he's been sitting in solitary confinement for the better part of a year now, in pretty much torturous conditions. Sleeping without any clothes. He's not even allowed to exercise. Gets 1 hour of walking around the day. I mean, this is ridiculous. And the concerns that I have is that the U.S. government is seeing this revolution that's spreading around within the ranks of the military, and they have really harsh penalties set up for anyone who directly challenges their rule. And what I'm worried about is, you know, people like myself who's out in the open, or, you know, even other soldiers who will come forward in the future, will run the risk, if they go under U.S. custody again, will either face similar circumstances or even the death penalty, because it's still on the books, regardless of what any military spokesperson will say. Well, we haven't done it in 25 years, but it's still on the books. And for me personally, I don't want myself or anyone else to be the first person that they dusted off this rule for.
Right, and of course, the encouraging news about Bradley Manning is, after international outcry and protests, the military has finally agreed to move him where he will be able to get, some exercise and be not in a maximum security person, and to really end his isolation. And it just goes to show you, Andre Shepherd, the power of the people. And speaking of power of the people, how can people support your campaign to win asylum? What can people do?
Well, the best thing they can do, because since I'm really far away from the United States, the first thing that everyone needs to do in the United States in particular is to spread the word. Tell as many people as possible. Anyone can go online, go into Google, just type in my name, Andre Shepherd, or put in Andre Shepherd U.S. deserter. You will find hundreds of thousands of websites over this case, and people can do as much research as possible over these cases. The other thing that they could do is they could write... we have a letter writing campaign on the website Connection AFOW. You can also find that by typing in Google. It's one of the first two entries that come up. And they could do letter writing for support for my case, because we're collecting all of these letters so we can turn into the German court system while they're preparing for this appeal case. The other thing other people can do as well is, if they can get in contact with congressmen who, you know, anti-war congressmen, you know, like Ron Paul or even my parents' congressman, Dennis Kucinich, and let them know about this case. I mean, I'm quite sure they know about this case. It's international, but, I mean, just to put pressure on them, you know, ask them, you know, the hard questions. What is Washington going to do about this? What is the stand on, you know, in Washington? What can the Congress people do? What can they do to, you know, speak to the German government to see if they can work out a deal, whatever. I mean, not just for myself, or, you know, just for soldiers who just refuse to fight. Because, of course, the country's being divided over this war. They've been divided over this war for many years. And it's time, I say, myself, for people to step forward and, you know, to be able to lend their voice, you know, and their might and their strength, you know, to bring this war to an end. Because what's going to happen is, you know, especially with this war in Libya that's opened up, I mean, it's getting very dangerous. I don't know how long America can keep up, you know, with all of these crazy wars, with these huge deficits that they're running up and sending America's children off to fight wars for, you know, foreign interest or for financial gain. This doesn't make any sense at all.
Right, and for oil, and of course, and now there is talk of boots on the ground on the part of the UK and Europe, and one wonders if this was the deal from the beginning with NATO going into that war in Libya, and so many young women and men, you know, thinking they can escape poverty by joining the military. So, Andre Shepherd, very brave what you're doing. You're appealing now the ruling against you by the German immigration authorities, and please continue through yourself and through Payday Men's Network to keep us posted on your case. All the best to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Refuseniks from around the world speaking out against murder, rape, and torture. For more info, go to www.refusingtokill.net.
Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good?